we're allegedly recording now.
Okay.
Here we go.
Sorry, we're dealing with a tech update and not dealing very well.
We are two women in STEM.
Yes. It's fine. It's not a tech podcast. Who cares? We just hope you hear this in the way that you should. It's fine.
One day we'll open this podcast with like confidence. Knowing what we're doing. Every time we hit record, we're like, so...
It's daunting.
It is daunting. I mean, technology is daunting.
I told Sable that last night. I was trying to see our podcast cover art without opening the app. Mm. And so I made the huge mistake of Googling us. And I was like, I will not read anything. I will just go straight to images. But I did. And I saw what is... The worst thing you could possibly see is a Reddit thread dedicated to us. And I was like, I will not click on that.
What? A thread? No.
So I promptly clicked on it. It was all fine. Yeah. They're like, it's easy listening. It's good.
Great.
The only thing that was said was, sometimes it takes them 30 minutes to start talking about the fragrance. And I was like, you know what? That is true.
We have said this before. And it is simultaneously, I think, the thing that people enjoy, but it also repels certain people.
The girls that get it, get it.
Yep.
The girls that don't, don't.
I also remember somebody telling me about the polarization factor and how things that are more polarizing are just more success, quote unquote, successful or like relevant than things that are universally pleasing.
I don't think we're polarizing.
I think it depends on who you ask.
I think we're iconic.
Which is why I never ask.
This is true, yeah.
Because I don't want to know.
Again, none of my business.
I don't want to know what I don't want to know. Which is a lot of things.
This is true.
The longer I live, the more I find out. I'm like, didn't need to know that. Don't need to know that.
And yet we keep finding out.
I went to another influencer fragrance event this week.
Oh, for Soul Day?
Yes.
I wanted to go to that and I was invited, but they like would not let me bring a plus one.
Which is insane because... all it was on the roof of the Standard in the East Village.
I fucking knew it.
Just like drinks on a roof. They had the bottles around. There were a couple Instagram-y tableaus.
Yeah.
And that was it. There was no speeches. There was no nothing. There were little baby foods being passed around.
Usually brands are cool about it. Yeah. And if it's like,
that's why I thought it was weird. I was like, this is just a party. Like, what?
Yeah. I'm like, let me party, girls, please.
I mean, it was pretty busy, so maybe it was like a capacity thing.
Yeah.
I know when I show up to a beauty event and everyone is dressed and coiffed, I'm like, ah, fuck, it's an influencer. Again, not like to disparage influencers. Influencers got influence. But course. Like, I'm like, well, I look like shit. It makes me feel very frumpy because I just didn't put as much effort in. And then usually when I go there, I'm like, well, I hope I know somebody here.
Yeah.
And it was me just like a shark, just like never stopping pacing around the entire place because like, I have to look like I'm doing something or else it's just going to be one girl standing alone. And that's sad.
Right.
As I was doing my like, don't look like a loser pacing around the place, this girl came up to me and she was like, oh, I like your shoes, which I'm just like, no, you don't. But I see what you're trying. It's an opening. I get it. You're trying to make comments. Like, I appreciate that.
No, you don't.
I was like, no, you don't. But also, I appreciate what you're trying to do. I think she came alone as well. And she looked very young and was just like, oh, what do you do? And I'm like, I'm a beauty painter.
I went to this event on Thursday night. And it was in Dumbo I don't even know fuck where it was. It was
oh, was it the Paula's Choice?
Yeah,
I was gonna go to that, but I didn't want to play tennis.
Well, neither did I. Hello, but it was I don't know why, but it was a tennis themed event, and tennis courts in New York are hard to find. So it was at a luxury condo in Dumbo. So I go.
Did they give you an outfit?
They gave us outfits. And
I kind of wanted that, but then I realized I'm never going to wear it again, so it would be wasteful.
All the girls look so cute.
Yeah.
And I looked like a boy. But it was funny. So I go, and like the Paula's Choice events are always good. The agency who puts them on are always like really good. Mm-hmm. They take really good care of us. But they have, at a few of their past events, they've had this photographer to do portraits, which is
a
genius idea if you want people to come and like,
that's
get
cute.
A professional photo.
Yeah.
But she hates shooting men. I can tell.
What the heck?
I don't know. So the last event was an hourglass event where like we went and got our makeup done, then got a portrait.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's like calling out to these girls, like these girls are turning it out, just getting shot on shot on shot. And then like I sit down and she's like, bang, okay, you got it. And I was like, you spent 15 minutes with this other girl. And she's like, no, you got it. And she showed me and I was like, Okay, well, in your defense, I did get it. But this one, it was like sort of silly, whatever. But she was doing these full photo shoots with these cute beauty girls.
Yeah.
And then she's like, do you want your photo taken? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, okay. And she like brings me over, like sits me. This girl's like posing against the net, like fully giving, like it looked like the idol. And then she brought me over, sat me down. She's like, boom. Okay, you're good. I was like, help me out. Like, take my photo, please.
I'm so bad at getting my photo taken professionally. Yeah. Really bad. And every time I go to those events where there is a professional photographer and then like they send you the photos afterwards, I just look pained. I just have a pained expression on my face and I'm like, ugh. I think it's just like, I'm probably uncomfortable at the event already. So then when someone's like, let me capture your image in 1080 HD, I'm like, God damn it.
It's like, listen, I'm okay with you hating men, but not me.
Yeah. You're like, but it's me.
But it's me.
But actually, I did want to tell you about the new Sol de Janeiro scent.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So they released another body splash, body mist, fine fragrance mist. I don't know what they're calling it these days, but they keep changing the name of it.
It's called After Hours. The name of the scent is called After Hours, right?
Yeah, it's called After Hours.
It's a great name.
It's a great name. It is, I think, limited edition. It smells, again, I'm like, there it is, the Jasmine Sambac conspiracy theory. Or supremacy. The Jasmine Sambac supremacy, where everything smells like this floral gourmand cloud of like va-va-voom. Feminine ladies going out at night. I don't know. It's like, you know the smell when you smell it, that cloud of getting ready, going out. I was like, again. The scent profile hits again. So there truly must be some sort of floral amber campaign lobby. The floral amber lobby.
I mean, it's it's dollar signs.
It's dollar signs. But I think it's an interesting launch from Sol de Janeiro because it's like a night scent, even though we don't believe in time scents.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. I mean, Sol de is such, I mean, they're a Brazilian brand. They are inspired by the beach and the sun. Literally Sol.
I remember reading that like Sol de Janeiro is owned by Koreans and it's Brazilian inspired.
Okay.
Which I always find, I always find interesting when it's like a culture as seen by another culture. It's like a nesting doll situation of perspective.
No, I was going to say the same thing. It's a turn for the brand. It's because they are such a sunny, beachy, you know, celebratory brand. Not that night can't be celebratory, but not what I would expect.
It just reads as very like daytime at the beach.
Yeah.
In the sunlight, and now we're in the night.
Yeah.
Where there's no sunlight.
Yeah.
But we're still at the beach.
Yeah.
It's setting the scene.
Like, okay.
It's like, okay. I remember this summer and last summer, I don't know previously, they released like a set of three different limited edition body mists. They sold out really quickly. So I think they've realized the cadence of these limited edition scents. I feel like it smells a little bit more quote unquote grown up than their other scents.
Really?
And I am curious as to why they wouldn't have released it as a fine fragrance. Tynan is now going to get it. It's in there somewhere. Yeah.
Well, I mean, yes, but I think that body mists are the perfect storm of more affordable. You know, they can be an impulse purchase. And
wait, I always forget the price of those.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so it's $24.
Oh, yeah, that's easy.
It's very affordable.
Could I be wearing more perfume right now?
They bill it as an amber floral, blackcurrant, pear, nectar. Sorry, pear nectar is one phrase. Midnight jasmine, vanilla creme, lush freesia, amber woods, and caramelized patchouli. That's a lot. It's a lot of, it's a lot of stuff.
It doesn't really read super nighttime to me.
It doesn't. It reads as anytime, as any fragrance to me reads anytime. Yeah. But I see what the vibe is. They're like, go where the night takes you.
I mean, these are just like so easy to love that I think a body mist makes a lot of sense. Because like I said, they're super sweet. They're super bright. They're less expensive.
Yeah.
You know, you can impulse buy them. Makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. This kind of, it smells like the back of an, like the back of an Uber pool on a Friday night.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like that cloud of like hairspray and perfume and body lotion and like a little bit of like suntan lotion from the day.
I feel like this wants to grow up to be a Prada Paradox.
Ooh.
Do you know what I mean?
I think it wants to grow up to be YSL Libre Intense.
Well, they're the same fucking thing.
No, they're not.
They're all very similar.
They're similar. Prada Paradox is a little bit more standout to me because it's a little bit more glassier and floral.
Yeah.
Libra is a little bit more gourmand.
They're all in a funhouse mirror looking at each other, yeah, reflecting all, different things.
They're on a Venn diagram together.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. It's kind of fun.
It is fun. I mean, yeah. We love Sol Day. Who cares?
Yeah.
You know?
We love Sol Day. Who cares? That's our official stance on this. Speaking of pair, we got a really interesting pair-related voice note, which we will play for you.
Yeah.
Hi, Sable. Hi, Tynan. I'm calling about kind of a specific question that I know it doesn't actually have an answer. So I love pear. I love the note of pear. And unfortunately, my skin does not work well with whatever molecular compound they've created to get pear. Same issue for my sister, also loves pear. Skin does not work for pear scents. So I guess my question is there a note that you absolutely love but that does not work on your skin? Or have you heard of something like that happening? Because it feels weird and unfortunate. I try every pear fragrance and every time it's just not hitting. All right, thanks. Bye.
That is unfortunate because I feel like pear is in so many things.
Pears and cloud.
So, like, I feel like most modern designer and celebrity fragrances use pear.
Mm-hmm. To me, the first thing that I thought of with this is anyone saying that a singular note in a fragrance.
Yeah, I don't know if you could detect that.
Is reacting poorly to your skin. I think when you look at the bulk of a scent, like the juice, like the 3.4 ounces, the percentage of that juice that is that material is so low that it is most likely not what is affecting your skin.
Yeah.
Maybe it is, but I think also, are we thinking, is it the raw material? Is it the oil? Is it a synthetic? Is it a blend?
Also, when she said doesn't, I wasn't sure if she meant like gives a rash or just doesn't smell nice.
I took it as the first.
Yeah, I kind of thought so too.
So, and again, I'm not negating your experience, but I think when we talk about notes in a scent and the juice itself, we are thinking more about a formula.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, unless you're like creating your own fragrance with like natural essential oils or whatever, then you can probably break it out to a singular ingredient. But I think when we talk about, you know, modern day fragrance, it's probably... they're all larger than the sum of their parts. I know that we like to talk about
there's
notes,
like many ways to make a pear in a scent, but that is interesting. I remember that one, not one actually, three that I tried, the sniff fragrances gave me a rash.
Did they all give you a rash?
Yep.
Jesus Christ.
I don't know what's in them, but that just happened. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a very reactive person. No. Like my skin's not super sensitive. So I was like quite surprised at that. It wasn't a horrible rash, but you know how when people get a sunburn in the pattern where they missed sunblock? It looked like that, but like the spray pattern. It was just like all red.
Yeah. Do you remember, it was within the year that we started the show, I got a substantial burn from a Maison Francis Kirk de Jean fragrance. I sprayed it on my chest and it was bright red. It looked like
it was crazy. One of like the Aqua Vitae line. Mm-hmm.
But again, I don't trace that back to any singular note because you're spraying chemicals on your skin. I don't say chemicals in the derogatory way, obviously, but you know.
Just they are what they are.
And I, as well, do not have very reactive skin at all.
No.
But you never really know. So I guess to answer your question, I don't have a specific one that freaks my skin out. But then again, I look at it differently. I don't really, the note would have to be a very high volume and percentage to really specifically react to your skin like that. IMO. Then again, I'm also not a chemist, so.
I mean, as far as my other interpretation, which was notes that just don't work on my skin olfactorily speaking, anything with geranium or Divana, I've noticed,
really
smells like citronella, like insect repellent on me. Something, I don't know. So every fragrance I've tried that specifically calls out geranium or Divana, it just ends up smelling like citronella on me. I don't know why. Byredo Young Rose is coming to mind.
Lil Fleur
absolutely.
That I think just does smell like
it. Just smelled like citronella. I was like, what the heck.
I think that's more of the fragrance than the note though, because it smells like citronella on me too.
There was a Jo Malone, it was like honeysuckle and Divana
flop,
that smelled like straight up citronella on me. And I was like, what the heck. And then I felt crazy because I was like, is anyone else get like, am I crazy? Am I the only one who smells citronella?
Yeah.
And no one else is. So I'm just like, what the heck is going on?
I mean, everything smells great on me, so I can't relate. But no, the only things that have smelled crazy on me are voicemail is Italian Kush. Mm. I was like, do I smell? And I was like, oh, that's the fragrance I put on. But I think that's more of the fragrance than something turning. Yeah. And Baccarat Rouge 540, which I do like, smells crazy on me.
Wait, crazy how?
It does not smell like it smells on everyone else on me. It smells like it's like almost turned. It doesn't smell good. And it's a scent that I like.
But yeah.
Not on me.
I like it. I rarely wear it, but I remember wearing it a couple weeks ago when I went out to dinner with and
who?
Yeah, a mystery person. And the waitress immediately was like, she had like a really great accent too. It was like with one of those like mysterious European accents. She was like, the smell you're wearing is one of my favorite scents. And I was like, wow, why do you say it like that? I love it. I don't know if that answered the question, but that's my answer. Okay. Tynan, what do you smell like today?
I smell like a fragrance from a brand that we both like a lot.
Question mark?
The Harmonist. Not question mark.
Like them.
I like them a lot. Yeah. The Harmonist. I'm wearing Sun Force. Mm. And I kind of popped this on because I didn't really know what I was feeling today. And some things I really wanted to talk about, I can't talk about yet. So yeah, Sunforce is great. There have been some Harmonist fragrances that didn't really vibe with me, but that's just personal preference. This one I wouldn't reach for every day, but I really do like it. And you said I would probably like it because it's got this note of cardamom and organic honey in it. Mm-hmm. And you were right. It just smells like...
Wait, I want to smell on you.
Okay, well, I have like more than 90 things right now. Here.
Ooh, it's so nice.
It smells like warm hay and sweet skin and like hair.
It smells better on you.
Does it?
It smells on me.
I really like this. There's not a ton.
I feel like it smells spicier on me, but on you, it smells so much like softer, that gauzy sunlit hay.
It's really soft and really pretty. It just sort of smells like skin in a sweatshirt.
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, I could read the notes. It doesn't do a ton to bring it to life. I think the things that maybe are jumping out at me are saffron, cardamom, honey, sandalwood, and musk. And I think that's pretty accurate.
That's pretty accurate, I feel. Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice. Mm-hmm.
It's a gorgeous scent.
It really is. I like things that sort of do a little bit more than this, but there is definitely beauty in how... What am I trying to say?
The cloud of it?
Yeah.
The makeup? I don't know what you're trying to say.
I don't know either.
I thought I knew, but I don't.
I feel like this is doing just enough. It's not holding anything back, but it's also not trying to like overperform. It's just simplistic and pleasant.
Yeah.
And I like it the more that I smell it and the longer I wear it. I think it's really, really nice.
Yeah, the name Sun Force to me makes it seem like it's a stronger fragrance than it is.
And brighter, I would think, too.
Yeah, and brighter.
But I like this a lot.
But it smells like diffused sunlight.
Yeah.
Diffused afternoon sunlight.
And like a plane.
Yes.
Of grass.
Yes.
Or something. It's like not something that I would usually wear, but I think a lot of people would really like this. You know?
I agree.
Sable, what do you smell like today?
Speaking of things I wouldn't usually wear. Speaking of things we wouldn't usually wear, I'm wearing a new fragrance from Victoria's Secret. I called it in because they billed it as another Frank Vocal original. And I'm just such a fan of his work, so I'm automatically curious when something is made by him. It is a flanker of their Teas collection.
Okay.
It's called Teas Coco Soiree. It's a soiree of cocoa. And the fact that it was billed as a vanilla gourmand piqued my interest.
Yeah.
And I do remember enjoying the Teas Cloud Creme.
That was good.
Cloud Cream. The Madison Beer one.
Yeah.
I like that one. Again, it's like pleasant, but it's not necessarily a me fragrance, but I did want to smell the Coco Soiree. So I sprayed it on this morning before I like went out to get like coffee and breakfast. Mm-hmm. It's such a specific image to me, like a high school senior at a prep school who's gunning for valedictorian, also captain of the tennis team, also prom queen. It's that kind of homecoming queen vibe. The scent that's like aspirational womanhood as interpreted by a teenage girl, because it is like a bit girlish. It's vanilla gourmand. They call it whipped mocha, freesia, lush wild berry. Wait, I don't know what that means. It just smells like a cacophony of girlishness.
That actually does,
but it's very light.
My high school experience.
It's very transparent, so it's not overpowering.
It's lighter than I thought it was.
Yeah, like I thought it would just be like ba ba boom.
Yeah.
Girl smell, but there's like a a transparency about it that's really, really pretty. That it takes all of these and it kind of gives it this like lush, glassy Sofia Coppola cinematic filter over it, which is really pretty. And again, it's not something that I necessarily feel like I identify with, but it is a pretty scent.
I feel like this is sort of an outlier in the Frank Vogel cinematic universe.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
And I understand like the man just has to work with the briefs he's given.
Totally.
But he's going to do what he's going to do. And he's really good at these pretty transparent kind of skin scents, which is what this is.
I feel it. How much are these?
A 50 ml bottle is $60. Okay. So that's not bad.
That's not great.
It's one size. There's also a fine fragrance mist, which is on sale on their website for $15, which I think honestly is the better bet.
Sure.
With these types of fragrances, since they're so airy anyway. I don't think an EDP is necessarily going to change the experience much more than like dousing yourself in the fragrance mist.
Sure.
I feel like an imposter, but
that's okay.
A nice one? Question mark. Anyway, shout out to our guy Frank Vogel.
Hey Frank.
Another hit.
I am genuinely. I've been looking forward to this episode all week.
Yes.
I am so thrilled with our guest today, Steph Stone.
Yep.
She is a personal friend of ours.
Yes.
Ours together, ours separately.
Yep.
I just really love her. I mean, we get into it all during the interview, but Steph Stone is I would call her a celebrity manicurist. Well, I mean, which she is, but she called herself a editorial
manicurist.
Okay. Yeah. So you, whether you know it or not, you've seen her work everywhere.
Yep.
Red carpets, magazine covers,
Met
appearances,
Gala.
Met galas, and she's just like genuinely one of the coolest, kindest.
She's touched all the fingers of Hollywood.
She has. She is one of the kindest, coolest people in the industry. And and everyone loves her. And just because of who she is.
I remember we met a year ago.
Yeah.
When she lives in LA. She was in town for like literally, I think, two nights to do the Met Gala. She had a couple people she was doing.
Yeah.
And I saw on her Instagram story that she was coming to New York. And I was literally just like, even for just like 30 minutes, like, I want to see you.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, just tell me when you're free.
Yeah.
We will make this happen.
Right.
And we got Korean food in K-Town together. It was so nice.
And it's so funny. Like, we've talked about, you know, doing what we do and being very online and having our jobs also be very online. You never really know what you're going to get when you meet people that you've been following for years and you think are cool. No. But, like, Steph is exactly who she says she is and more. And I adore her.
Yeah. You're right. It is hard to reconcile the person you see online with who they are in front of you IRL. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this is similar with online dating, where like you can get a vibe from somebody and then when you meet them in person, you're like, whoa. But no, with Steph, I was just like, no, she's awesome. And then we met, I'm like, you're amazing and you're everything I thought you would be and even better.
I want to hang out with you every day.
Exactly.
Oh no.
Be my mom. We also just thought, we interview a lot of people in the fragrance industry, in the scent industry. But part of what, or at least part of like one of the reasons like I love doing this podcast is that it deconstructs what is kind of mystifying or intimidating about scent and fragrance. And I feel like in doing that, we thought it would be really cool to just have friends, like people cool people on the podcast who also experience scent and just talking to just like people not in the scent industry about, you know, how they engage with scent because that's also interesting.
Well, and she's still, I mean, very in beauty, not that it matters, but she's scent adjacent.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. The way we're scent adjacent.
Exactly.
Yeah. Also, I think it's just, I don't know, like, I think of it almost like ITG Top Shelf, where it's like, you just want to, like, when you see people who are like, you admire, you're just like, I just want to know, like, what do you wear? What do you smell like?
Not into the gloss.
Okay.
But yes, I agree.
Yeah. When you just like see cool people online or whatever, who you know, I'm always interested in knowing what people smell like. I think everybody is.
Yeah.
So, yay.
Let's get into it.
Let's do it.
I'm Stephanie Stone. I'm an editorial manicurist in Los Angeles.
Amazing. And Steph, we always start by asking, what do you smell like today?
Oh, I just got out of the shower. Right now, I have like a special treat body wash. I splurged on a Le Labo rose.
Ooh.
Scent body wash. I didn't spray anything on after that. How about you both?
I'm wearing Sunforce from The Harmonist. It's new to me. It sort of smells like warm hay in the sun.
Oh, I love that description.
Yeah.
I for laughs, sprayed on a Victoria's Secret.
Not for laughs.
A little bit for laughs. It was like, it's a new Victoria's Secret flanker of their fragrance teas called Coco Soiree.
I didn't know that.
Love. What does it smell like?
Honestly, to me, it smells like girls getting ready to go to prom.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of what it smells like. Yeah. It smells like the mall. Your teenage idea of what sophisticated is.
Completely.
And it sort of smells like a base of sunscreen and then hair product and then perfume on top of it.
Yeah, yeah. It's like that that cloud of like all the scents from getting ready. It's like hairspray and perfume and body lotion and all that stuff together.
Yeah, yeah. Steph, we are so excited to have you on the show. I just want to get this out of the way. We are your biggest fans. I have been stanning you like since I started in beauty. Like, I just love your work. I love everything you do. I love your personal aesthetic and your outlook and how your world looks through your eyes. Not only your personal style, but I feel like you just like lead with kindness and it just radiates out from you. Everyone who follows you feels it. And I could not be happier that you're on the show today. I really mean that.
Same, same. I forget how we connected, but I just remember thinking like, oh my God, this girl is so cool. Yeah. And then every time I click on your Instagram story bubble, whatever you post always gives me cute aggression. I was like, how can a human give me cute aggression?
Thank you guys so much for having me here. I feel not worthy because I'm both of your biggest fans. And I'm like, they're just so smart and cool and funny and goals and everything. And I feel not worthy to be here. So thank you for having me.
Well, we feel not worthy to be here and it's our podcast. So. We almost started the show with that recording and I feel like you want to go back to that with the question that you had for us.
Oh, yeah. I am just such big fans of you and I feel like this podcast is so specific and so niche. And I am someone who knows nothing about scent. I am a scent novice. I'm always just wondering how you smell good and like how someone, when you hug them, they're someone that just smells good. And I know nothing of this world. So I was just really curious how you both discovered your passion for fragrance.
I think it was always there since I was a kid, but like we both work in beauty. So we have the occupational perk of getting to try so many scents.
Yeah.
And I think at first, when I started in beauty, fragrance was always the most luxurious beauty category. So it felt very out of touch. And then once I got further into it, I was, I don't know. I guess, at first it was like, ooh, this is fancy. I want the fancy things. And then afterwards, I was like, wait, every smell is amazing. I love them.
Yeah, I think for me, my whole life, I've just wanted to be my mom. And when I was younger, well, my whole life, she's always worn perfume. She's always had not a signature scent, but something that she would put on every day. And it would change with the seasons or with the year or whatever. But it was just always a part of her life. And being a little boy watching your mom, fragrance was one of the only tangible things that I could do to emulate her in that way. When I started to grow up and become a teenager, and it's like, well, now I have to wear a perfume. So that's sort of where it started. And then, yeah, we got into beauty. And I always bitch about like no one was covering fragrance. I won't get into that again. But fragrance was something that I found that was really exciting to cover because the people I was writing for at the time really let me just go wild with it and be super imaginative and illustrative with the way that I cover things. And it really helped me like double down on my love of scent because it was, I mean, I love color cosmetics. I think that's probably my first love, but fragrance is the one thing for me that you can really go other places in your mind with, you know, because no one fucking knows what bergamot is or, you know, why would they? But you can tell and show how it makes you feel and what it looks like and all of this. And you can explain it in all these ways that aren't just like, here are the notes. So it's been this evolving journey for me,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Also, like from what you just said, it reminded me that when I was a teenager and you were in college, I feel like I had a glow up very late in life. So I felt very like, not ugly, just like I felt very like meh, like very mid for like most of my childhood. But fragrance was like,
don't believe this, by the way.
Like, was I don't know. But
cheekbones are forever. So.
It took until my like late 20s for them to pop out. But so when I was in high school and I was like, you kind of know when you're that age where you are in the hierarchy of like girls. And I was like, okay, I'm not the hottest. I'm not the smartest. I'm not the funniest. But every time I wear certain scents, the compliments you get are unmatched.
Mm, yeah.
because scent is so personal, I was like, that's the secret weapon, scent.
I love that. I was really thinking about how scent has its own language, and you really have to be versed in knowing everything that's a part of the construction of a scent. And listening to you guys talk about scent, you know every single note to pick apart what is in there. And that's really special because that's not something you can Google. Even as I prepared for this, you can like Google a color or makeup or nail polish, anything visual, but scent, you have to have that knowledge and association with the word to remember it and tie it together.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that. Yeah. I think part of what we do has always been trying to sort of like make it way less gatekeepy and way more accessible, because no one teaches you that fragrance language, you know, and there's still shit that like we don't know. And I'm happy to say I don't know.
Yeah.
But I do know how I would understand it. So I think that's what I tried to bring to the table.
It was definitely a past guest who told this to us. I think maybe it was Andreas Keller.
I don't remember full episodes we've done, so no pressure.
Olfactory Arts Keller. But he said that when people describe fragrances just by lining out all the notes, it's kind of like describing a painting by just telling you what colors are in it, which like doesn't actually tell you what it smells like, and it doesn't tell you what a painting looks like.
Yeah.
So to me, I'm like, oh, because I always was like, okay, I can read the notes in a fragrance, but that doesn't help me know what it smells like. Because again, the fragrance industry is like very secretive. So they don't tell everybody, obviously, the ingredients and stuff. So they just kind of pick out the best storytelling notes. And then you don't know what the concentrations or the ratios are. So you can never truly know.
Right. And you don't know how it's going to react to your body and what it's going to smell like on you.
Totally. Yeah. Which is funny because things smell so differently on the two of us. Yep. Things always pull sweet on me and more like tart on Sable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a sour girl.
Wait, but let me pop that question then right back to you. What is sort of your first memory of fragrance, and how did you, you know, if you have a love of fragrance, which we know that you do, like what sort of helped that blossom?
I feel like honestly, listening to the way you guys speak about fragrance has really encouraged me to heal my relationship with scents, which sounds so eye-rolly, but I think growing up, nobody taught me about beauty. Nobody taught me about upkeep or like how to be feminine or how to feel comfortable in my body. And so I never was familiar with that world. And I don't remember, I'm sure that my mom had a scent, but I don't remember it. I think that so many of the scents from childhood I remember are like what the street smelled like or what my room smelled like or things that aren't necessarily exciting or necessarily positive. But the first scent that really made me feel comfort and care was my grandma's laundry. And I have no idea what she probably just uses the most basic Costco Tide and Nuggie and whatever. But that is the scent from my childhood that feels calming and home and safe.
Aww.
Oh, I love that.
That is true. Like your home scents, I think, really just form your whole world, especially when you're growing up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's so much is sort of like what we try to get into as well. Yeah. Is like, it's not just about perfume, because your life and like the way that you interact with scent, perfume is just like the punctuation on the end of the sentence, because you have to move through the world. You know what I mean?
Wait, did you grow up in California?
You grew up in Hawaii, right?
Oh, that's right.
I grew up all over. So I was born in Hawaii, and then we moved to the Philippines, where my mom is from. And then we had 1 year in Anaheim, where my grandparents live, where the laundry scent presented itself. And then we moved back to Hawaii, and I grew up mostly in Hawaii until I graduated high school.
Wow.
And moved here.
Wow.
What's
so like there was just like a lot of smells of the world.
What's the most signature smell of Hawaii to you?
For me, I was asked, I think, my favorite floral scent a few years ago, and it definitely is Plumeria, but I don't know that I would want it bottled.
Fair.
And it's such a specific scent there that I want to smell it there at all times, but I don't know that you could actually really capture it in a bottle, that I think I would judge it too much if it was a perfume. For me, I wouldn't judge someone else wearing it, but I would just be like, that's not what it really smells like. But also the air and just the salt water, and it feels so clean and crisp.
Wow.
I love that.
I have an uncle in Hawaii, and we've only visited him like once in my life when I was 21. And I just remember being like so floored. He lived on Maui. He still lives there. And I remember being so floored at how beautiful and lush and tropical Hawaii is.
Completely. Off the record, how is your uncle? Is he okay?
He's okay, yes. He owns a bunch of souvenir t-shirt shops around Maui. And one of them got totaled in the fire. But
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, but he himself and his family and his home are like fine, which is good.
Okay, good. Yeah. That's all that matters.
As someone who grew up in the Midwest and was very landlocked a lot of my life, being near the water in any sense, it, you know, even the ocean in wherever the fuck I am out here, is truly its own thing. And I'm still so not used to the smell of whatever it is, Taylor Swift, salt air or whatever, just aquatic air and water by the ocean. It's still something I missed out on and now I want to be around all the time.
It's something I think about too, because like I grew up on Long Island, which is an island. So the beaches are like pretty close wherever you are. And then I'm like, wait, what do people do in the summer who live in a landlocked state? Like, where do you swim?
We get hot.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Rockford, Illinois. So right between like Chicago and Madison. Yeah. Very, very Midwest vibes.
What did you do during the summer?
Baked.
Yeah. I mean, I went to like, I mean, my parents worked, so I went to camp, whatever that means. We had a pool at the camp, which was nice, which is the only reason anyone went there. It was at the Jewish Community Center. And yeah, I think it just sort of like hung out in the grass. I don't know. Not really like a nature girly, but you know, it was enough.
Yeah.
What does LA smell like to you?
Because you're in LA now,
You're in LA,
LA smells like so many different things to me. I feel like this is what made me think about the fact that you can't Google it, because, and I keep talking about my grandparents' house because I think that was my one normal year of childhood that I like, I cherish you. But there were jacaranda trees. I think I'm saying that correctly. And it just, when they bloom, it's like purple, a sea of purple. And then when all the flowers fall, it's just a road full of purple. And I always remember that smell. And I Googled the tree to make sure that it was the right tree. And I was like, what if this is the tree that smells terrible that everyone talks about?
Oh, yeah.
And I can't verify it. So yeah, but I love Los Angeles so much. I think it gets such an interesting rap for, I don't know, being toxic or people are fake or whatever, but LA is so special and there are so many different cultures and so many different worlds that you can be in. As far as if I walk outside of my house right now, it's just going to smell really clean and fresh and like fresh air. And if I drive a couple miles away, there's so many restaurants and it's going to smell like food. And I love all of it. And you can drive an hour away and be at the beach. And you can drive an hour in the opposite direction and be at the desert. And all of those places smell so differently. And it's all so close and accessible. I don't really have like a one solid answer of what it smells like.
I lived in LA for about a year and this I do so specifically, and I like you, I can't tell you what it was, but there are like two smells that I severely associate with LA. One is just warm green air and the other is lemongrass. And anytime I smell either of those two things, it like sucks me right back. I don't know. Smell is crazy.
Wow. Where did you live when you were here?
Santa Monica. Yeah.
That's really nice. You got your beach fill then.
I did. Exactly. I spent a lot of time at the beach too, because I was like, I don't know how long this is going to last. My time, not the beach itself. Yeah.
Completely. I mean, global warming is not looking. Anyway. Positive.
Right.
Staying positive. Yeah. Would you guys ever move to LA?
I feel like there is like a... this like mass exodus of New Yorkers to LA just because they realize like, oh, we have similar industries and you get so much more space in LA and the weather is nice. Mm-hmm. After a few winters in New York City, you're just like, fuck this. I'm out.
Yes.
I don't know. Maybe I don't love driving is the only thing.
I love driving.
Yeah. I enjoy it if I don't have to do it. I just don't want to have to rely on it. Like, I love public transportation. Yeah. I love being able to walk places. Yes. That's the thing.
Yeah, for me, I would like never say never, but
never say never.
I really did enjoy it a lot while I was there. Yeah. Stuff like you, I mean, people, LA gets a bad rap, but I was like, mm-hmm. yo, people are fake everywhere. You know, it's sort of like, yeah, you like can't chalk it up
New York
to that.
City are fake as well. Right.
And no, I really enjoyed it when I was there. I was also very young.
Yeah.
So I was very sorry. But yeah, I would do it again.
My brother used to live in LA for like 6 or 7 years, and I only visited him twice. And he's such a curmudgeon. So I'm like, why did you move to this sunny place when you hate the sun and you hate traffic? Why did you come here?
That's so funny.
So like, he wasn't the best person to like maybe stay with in LA because he never wanted to do anything. But he also lived in the Valley.
I get that too, though. I live in the Valley. And I think that like when you're comfortable at home, the last time I had family visit, they were like, what are we going to do today? And I was like, stay home. I don't know. I'm tired. Like, let's not do anything.
Yeah.
So I understand that.
Yeah.
But
every time I was like, what if we went here? What if we wanted to go here? He'd be like, that's an hour and a half drive. And I'm like, it's 5 miles. Like, what are you talking about?
That's so funny. I feel like the time of day, anything is an hour and a half, no matter where you're going.
Sure.
And then if you go at the right time, it could be like 15 minutes, 20 minutes. And then at the wrong time of day, you're going to be in your car for hours.
Right.
That is the worst.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's valid. Where did he end up?
He's back in New York now, but he moved to Florida for a little bit with his then wife, and then they broke up, and now he's back in New York. But I think he's moving back to LA, actually. So I will have like another...
Come visit!
Yeah, another young outpost on the West Coast.
A young outpost.
But I have so many friends in LA, like you, Robin Black, people I've been like meaning to visit and just like hang out with and spend time with. So I feel like I need to do a friend trip. Just to like
a friendcation. Yeah.
You could do like smell you later on the street and then make the trip a write off.
Ooh.
If there's one thing I'm going to do, it's write something off.
Absolutely. So, yeah. I wrote a word on this trip. It's a tax write off.
Exactly. <Yeah.
laughs> This is the freelancer mind.
Literally. Mm-hmm. I'm like, how can I cheat the system? Steph, I'm super interested in. So you're a beauty industry professional, and I can cut this out if you want me to, but I want to gas you up for a minute. I mean, listener, take a look at any magazine cover that is near you. Steph probably did those nails.
Yep.
Steph does multiple manicures for the Met Gala every year. I mean, a lot of the nail art that has influenced me over the years has been done by Steph Stone, whether I knew it or not. And I mean, you are the girl for nails. But as a beauty industry professional who spends, you know, your days on set, how does the scent of nail polish and beauty and glam rooms and everything, how does that inform your day? Because I remember going to the nail salon with my mom in the 90s, back before we had gel polish, very OPI era.
Yeah.
And it's such a specific, repellent, but attracting, like, the scent to me, like nail polish and acetone, it's such a weird dichotomy of like, this is bad, but I love it, you know? So I just, what does your workday sort of smell and feel like?
Yeah.
So the smell of nail polish does not even waft into my nose anymore. Like I just don't smell it. It's like invisible as far as I'm concerned. And during the day, I'm normally doing a mani with hair and makeup. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I start painting, the hair makeup artist will be like, I love the smell of nail polish. It's like the smell of gasoline. Like you hate, it's bad, but it smells so good. And it doesn't register until someone else points it out that it smells like anything, which is probably really a bad sign for me as far as the chemical inhalation goes. But it doesn't even register. I think maybe the only one that does. Are you familiar with Setch Veet top coat?
Yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's like maybe the most chemically, I'm not sure what their formula is now, but it's also the best top coat. It,
say
for college.
That. Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's like so glossy and so shiny and looks like gel. Probably a good substitute is the Essie Gel Couture.
Yes.
Top mm-hmm. coat.
I love that one. Yeah.
It's so good. Yeah. And it dries really quickly. I feel like Such Beat dries maybe a touch faster, but it's pretty close. And the Essie one doesn't smell like chemicals as soon as you open the bottle. So
yeah,
there is that. But yeah, I think outside of the smell of nail polish in my workday, again, working with hair and makeup, there's so many smells in the room. Someone will normally light a candle, and then there's hair products spraying everywhere, and there's lotions, and there's so much scent that it's always good, but it can be overpowering, especially if you're in like a small trailer or glam room. It's a lot of scents at once. And maybe that's part of why I cancel it out in my mind, because if I was to consume all of them, it would be overwhelming.
Right. Can I ask a question that Steph is going to probably seem really elementary to you, but I've always wondered. When it comes to nails on like photo shoots and carpets and concerts or whatever, nails on high profile people. Yeah. How many of them are press-ons versus how many of them are on their actual nail?
I think that it is changing so much in the recent years of Gel X and Builder Gel, and nail extensions have changed so much in the past probably 5 years that it's hard to say. When I first started, everything was a press-on. I would make sets in advance and then just pop them on. People were a lot more inclined to use sticky tabs back in the day so that they could just rip them off at the end of the night and not have to worry about it.
Yeah.
And then just pop them on again the next day. But I think now people are looking for something with more longevity. If it's not done on their nails directly, they want gel extensions done on their nails directly, or builder gel done on their nails directly. So that's not a basic question at all. I could talk about the most boring things for nails for hours. So
no,
you'll be like, please stop talking about press-ons.
No, I mean, this is a perfume podcast. Yeah. There's a good sect of people who's like, this is boring. We are the right audience for you.
Yeah.
Yay.
I love that.
I know there's so many like different gels now that I had no idea existed. Yeah. Like Builder Gel, for instance, I didn't know was a thing. I was like, oh, so you can make like 3D shapes. Like that's crazy.
Yeah.
I really like the Builder Gel a lot more than I thought I would, but it is very tedious to work with too. I did a friend's nails with a new Builder Gel that I hadn't worked with before. And I was like, you need to cut out the whole day for me. Let's just sit here and experiment and don't think you have a heart out. We're going to be here for hours making sure that this is perfect before I take this technique out on the town.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's so many. It's just constantly new nail innovation changing.
Right. Right. Your life seems very glamorous to me. Mm-hmm. Just always being in the hair and makeup and the glam room and all that, and surrounded by celebrities on sets and everything. But I think everyone's life seems glamorous when it's not your own. Do you know? So do you get excited about going to work every day? Because it seems like you love what you do and everything, but from the inside, how does that feel?
Wow, that's such a nice question. It's so funny that it seems so glamorous, because it could not be less glamorous, especially my role. I love being friends with other set manicurists, because I think we have such a specific experience that like not a lot of people would understand unless you've played the role. Mm-hmm. It's so not glamorous. You're like schlepping 300 pounds of nail polish and gel with you to work, multiple bags and suitcase. There's no chance that by the time I get in that glam room, I'm going to still smell good, because I'm like sweating, carrying heavy bags and just sitting in like the smallest spaces and crouched under the table to try to fit in where you get in to give a pedicure. I do enjoy it. I am so thankful for it. I'm so thankful for my job and the fact that I could have a career doing such a specific niche thing. I don't know what else I could offer in the world. I think that I don't really know what else I could do as a career. And I'm thankful to have this. I think it's not glamorous. It's not always exciting or fun, but I'm deeply thankful for the job I have, and the agency that I have that represents me is, I don't think I could do it without them at all. And they are so supportive and encouraging, and they kind of really navigate the industry like nobody's curing cancer here. Like, none of this is that serious. You don't have to internalize this. You don't have to take this home with you. Mm. And there was a point last year where I experienced like such an intense sense of burnout. And I was really, really, really depressed. And I kept getting sick, and my baseline was just in a bad place. And I had asked my agency, hey, if I took a chunk of time off, do I still have a place on the roster when I come back? And they were like, absolutely. Your mental health comes first. Take the time you need. We're here when you're ready. And so I took a bunch of time off. I'm back. And when I came back, they were like, you can take this as slow as you want. You can say no to any job. We won't question you. We won't judge you. We won't push you in any way. Do what feels authentic to you. And so I feel like the industry can be very, there's so many wonderful people, but it also can be very harsh and not soft. And it was such a blessing to have that response from them when I was like, hey, I'm going to have a mental breakdown if I don't take some time off. Yeah. So I am enjoying myself again. There was a point where I would leave set crying every day, no matter what the experience, because it was just like so pent up. And now when I go back, I'm like excited to be there and so thankful and really looking forward to what's the next job going to be. I'm so excited to go. And so sabbaticals work.
Yeah.
Definitely take your live, laugh, love year if you are able.
I think it's easy for people to forget how physical jobs that happen around us every day are, like nail artists, makeup artists, bartenders, people you see every day. All of these jobs are so physically, emotionally, and mentally taxing that you do have to step away and just heal yourself, which I'm not good at doing. But when I think
just creatively, like you need to take a step back. Like you have to do like a hard reset on your brain. And just not think about what you're doing or like being productive for a bit. They say boredom is intrinsic to the creative process.
I completely agree. I think it just got to a point where I was like, I don't feel like myself anymore. And even when I'm entering the rooms where everybody is kind, I don't feel like I know how to connect or be normal, because I felt like a wounded puppy that was just like bracing for impact, for something to happen. And I needed a reset. I needed to like neutralize my nervous system. And now I feel like I don't go in expecting the worst. I go in and I'm like, this is going to be great. And then if something presents itself that's not great, we deal with that then. And that was not something I was capable of doing a year ago.
That's good. That's good to hear.
So
it's healthy.
We're glad that you took time to take care of yourself.
Thanks, guys. Everybody needs it. I feel really lucky. Like, it was a long preparation before I did it too. I know that not everyone can just take some time off. And I was still doing work from home things of projects that I could like supplement my income and survive that way. But it was just really about realizing what I was capable of and if I had like bitten off more than I could chew.
Sure. Were some of the work from home projects the like spots you'll do for Essie, the sort of like at home. I love, those, Steph. I mean, you are so talented and your work is so intricate and singular and beautiful. But then seeing you partner with a nail brand to show like an at-home nail situation, it's always just so, it looks so easy and effortless and accessible. And I feel like that is hard to find in beauty. You know what I mean? So I love seeing you being like, this is how you can do it yourself. And you actually are able to.
I think because nail art seems so, when I see nail art, you just see the finished result and it looks so intricate and I don't know, like kind of like out of reach. And then when you see like a person actually, you see the in process shots of it being done, you're like, oh, okay. Like I can attempt this, which like I've definitely attempted to do your little, the little daisy flowers, the little dot daisies.
Yeah.
To questionable success, but at
I'm
least
so it, happy you tried them. It makes me so happy to do those things. I think also that takes so much time and so much the filming and then the editing. Yes. That could be a full-time job.
It is
in and of itself.
So, yeah,
but it's so fun and it makes me so happy when people do them and recreate them and then show me. It just makes my heart full to see other people recreate it too. And it's so interesting. It really is about the tools you have.
Yep.
And you'll see something like a little character with the eyes are so detailed, but then you realize it's just like dots on top of dots on top of dots.
Mm.
And it's so much more accessible and easy to accomplish once you realize the pieces are pulled apart and it's about the type of tools you're using to accomplish it.
Totally.
Yeah.
Wow.
I also see like you post these like kind of beauty tableaus and there will be like perfume bottles. And I'm like zooming in. I'm like, what is
that? Same. I'm like,
I love that.
Well, it like some of them are ones I think I remember seeing Marc Jacobs Daisy, a couple of those bottles. And then I wondered, I'm like, oh, I wonder, because like when people work in beauty, I just assume they just get sent things. And then I was like, oh, I wonder if she wears Daisy. Is that part of your fragrance wardrobe? Or, like, oh, even better, like what were your favorite scents in high school?
Okay. You're going to laugh at me because I have no idea what Daisy smells like. I don't think I've ever sprayed that bottle. I saw it in line for Sephora and was like, it's so tiny. I need that. And I bought it because it was tiny and cute and it would look cute next to my Sylvanian families. And that is why I bought it. I'm going to spray it today. I need to know what it smells like. Today. My favorite scent in high school, I didn't have one. I didn't wear one. I had no money to buy any, like not even a Bath and Body Works something. And I hadn't shoplifted anything at that point in my life either. So there was no scent to be had. I was thinking about this question though, and I think the closest thing that I remembered was maybe my friend had a scented body shimmer from Claire's probably. And I can't remember what it smelled like. I'm sure it was some sort of like awful vanilla. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I remember, I can see them in my mind.
Totally.
Yeah.
Right. It was like a tiny shimmery baby powder or something, probably. But yeah, I didn't have a scent in high school. I had no like anything in high school. I didn't know like what my style was or anything about myself at that point.
Now, though, you have, I feel like, such a signature style, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I look at things and I think, oh, Steph Stone.
Yeah.
Do you have a signature scent today that goes with it? What do you reach for these days?
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely gravitate towards florals. And I think when I first started making grown-up money a few years ago, I was like, I'm going to buy a fancy scent. I want like a fancy lady perfume something. And so I nervously went to the Nordstrom's Byredo counter. And I was so nervous and embarrassed. I like hoped that nobody would come talk to me and that I could just like smell things alone. And the woman came over and was very encouraging of me trying everything on and trying something on both of my wrists separately so that they were far apart. You could actually tell the difference in scent. And I remember being so nervous and wanting to like get out of there as fast as possible. But I ended up really liking the rose scents. And I think I tried on Rose of No Man's Land and then Rose Noir. And the woman told me I should get Rose of No Man's Land and that the Rose Noir smelled too mature on me, which I think was a really nice way of saying I smelled like an old lady, like the way it reacted to my chemicals, it wasn't working for me. But I'll do like one spray of Rose of No Man's Land, and that I think is what I end up wearing. And that bottle I got maybe like 5 years ago has very little gone from it. So if I like calculated how much it cost by day, it's paid its money's worth. It's maybe like 50 cents a day at this point. So
that's a good way to look at it.
That's actually good question. Do scents expire? That's something I don't know. Do they expire?
I think
should I not be spraying this on myself at this point?
No, I don't think they expire in the sense that like they go, they become unsafe.
Yeah.
I think if anything, by like expiring, they're a little less vibrant or fresh as they were when you once bought them.
You can tell when a fragrance is turned, but
yeah, depending on also like where you store it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the only fragrances that I've smelled and have been like, oh, that's not good anymore are not things that I have acquired in my essentially lifetime. Like I have one Salvatore Dali fragrance, but that is just for the bottle, and that's bad. You were like, do not put that on your body.
Yeah.
And I haven't.
Wow.
But I feel things like that are super like
20 years.
Yeah. Yeah. People say to not store them in direct sunlight and to store them in a dark, cool place. But then I hear it doesn't matter because most bottles are treated with UV repellent. Yeah. So I don't know. I would say don't put it in the window. Yeah. But you know, if it smells okay, you're fine.
Yeah, I feel like after a couple years, it might not smell quite the same as when you bought it, but it's not going to harm you.
No.
I like have the desire to experiment with more scents, but I also experience like such shame and embarrassment when I go into these stores because they're so intimidating that I'm just like, no, go help someone more important than me. Like,
I think I'm scared. Perfume counter interactions I feel are the most intimidating, or at least for me. I go there knowing I'm just here to dilly dally. This is just a pleasant little time killer. I just want to smell some stuff. I have no intention of buying anything.
Sable's like, I'm here to steal.
I'm here to steal. I feel bad because I know my intention is not to buy anything. So when they like start doing their whole, they're like just doing their jobs.
Yeah.
But I was like, no. Like, you don't have to spray every blotter for me. I'm not that interested. I can just sniff the atomizer. It's fine. Please don't go out of your way. Because in my head, I was like, I'm probably just going to call this in to be
exactly. I'm going to get this
That's
for free.
Perfect. I really like your podcast because it demystifies the scariness of fragrance.
Yeah.
I think that something else that makes me nervous about fragrance is like it is making your presence known. And I've spent my whole life being like, I'm going to hide in the corner, you know, and it is a self-love thing. It is something you can do to be like, this is me. I smell wonderful.
I love that. Yeah. That should be the name of the episode. It's a self-love thing with Steph Stone. I love that.
I think it should be called This Is Me. I Smell Wonderful.
Yeah.
I like that.
Steph, I think probably question we can maybe go out on, and we didn't brief you with this one, so if you don't want to answer it, we can just clip it out. But I'm really interested to know from your perspective, what does love smell like to you?
I think romantic love. I was listening to the TikTok girlies this week, and one of them was talking about how if you hate the smell of your boyfriend's t-shirt after he wears it, it's time for you guys to break up. And chemically, we know I love the way my boyfriend smells after he's been at work all day, or there's such a true intimacy and comfort in being your natural human scent around someone. And I think that is a pretty good litmus test. Mm. If you hate the smell of your boyfriend the way he is naturally, you probably aren't a match. I think that there is something valid to that because, I don't know, you really have to be vulnerable to be like your human scent around someone.
Totally.
Literally and metaphorically.
I love that.
This has been
this was so good.
We were so looking forward to this. Yeah. And this is going to be one of my top favorite episodes. Agreed. Honestly, it's so good to just kick it with you. You were just the coolest person to both of us. And I just want to say thank you from the bottom of our hearts for joining us and giving us your time in the morning. I know it's been over an hour. So we really, really do love you and appreciate you.
Yeah.
I appreciate you guys so much. Can I ask you guys like one question quickly?
Of course.
Okay. I had written this down that I was like, okay, this is what I wanted to know. I wanted like a rapid fire, how to smell good for dummies. Like, what is your pre-fragrance routine? Mm. What is your body wash, toothpaste? Mm. Like all of the basic things that you're teaching someone to know about fragrance, how to prepare for putting the fragrance on.
Ooh. Well, they do say that fragrance lasts longer on moisturized skin. Mm-hmm. And when I get out of the shower, if I don't put on like a body oil or a body lotion, my skin just tightens. Mm. I think I'm just like a naturally dry person. So like my skin just dries into a husk. So like I have to put something on within that 30 second or 60 second time frame after you towel off and your skin's like still a little bit damp. Mm-hmm. And I keep the door shut so like the steam stays in to like keep you a little bit more.
I don't. Oh,
I have to.
I hate it.
Okay, that's why you don't look a day over 19.
That's true.
That and again, all the occupational perks that we get. But I'm also very liberal with what body lotions I will use, most of which are scented. I know you don't use scented body products at all.
I'll use a scented body wash, but that's so topical. Yeah. It just rinses away.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. I have historically not been a body lotion guy just because I hate the way it feels, but I am always at war with body acne. So that informs all of the body wash I use, which is sometimes honestly just pure Dial hand soap. I like alternate. Yeah. And I use a Sol de Janeiro one, Kosas one, anything with an acid in it, I'll use to sort of help keep that all at bay. But then lately, I've been hopping out of the shower doing the Soft Services body acne treatment, which smells like shit.
I love Soft Services. Same. Their lotion, the best.
And then I'll do a body lotion with retinol in it, all unscented, basically. Yeah. But that's sort of newer to me. Yeah. My skin, even without moisturizer lotion, it holds scent pretty well. Also, I know not everyone does.
You have body hair, that's why.
Oh, yeah. I'm a hair girl.
All your little chest hairs.
My tits out today. But I think with me, everything I put on my body is sort of helping keep me clear.
Yeah.
And yeah, but like Sable said, I don't like anything scented except the scent I'm wearing, including deodorant.
I'm very chaotic. I'll wear the Sol de Janeiro body lotion and then like spray a totally different perfume over it. Yeah. I'm also like a much liberal sprayer. Mm-hmm. You're like a 3 sprayer. I'm like a 7 sprayer.
Yeah. Well, and you have beautiful hair. So sometimes I don't think your hair smells like anything, but you can put
it in like spray like the nape of my neck. I'll like lift my hair up and spray like the back of my neck. Yeah. So like when you flip your hair, it's like,
And I famously have no hair. So like that's one thing I also don't get. So it's just, I think, how to smell better for longer or smell for longer. It's just, I think everyone always says like moisturize, you know,
layer. Yeah. Layer that shit.
That's such a good tip. I never would have known that at all either. Yeah. Okay, last question. Deodorant. What deodorants do you guys use?
Oh, we talk about this a lot.
We both love the Kosas, the chemical. Ooh. What is it called? I think it's the only one they have.
It's the only one. So what have rolled out in the last couple of years are serum acid deodorants, which have worked. I'm really weird about deodorant and it's something like I need to unpack. I don't know what it is, but I need it to be unscented and I don't want it to obviously have any like weird residue, whatever. But these new acid formulas that have come out, like AHA, sort of like similar to a toner.
Yeah.
And they'll come in a rollerball or a gel. Kosas has a great one.
Yeah. Necessaire.
Necessaire has a pretty good one. And Salt Air has also a really good one.
Okay.
They're really affordable. They really work. Yeah. So yeah, I just don't want to smell like anything but my perfume. So I need to not smell like myself.
Yeah.
So I'm really happy with these new serum deodorants.
Same.
Acid deodorants.
I'll try all different types of deodorant as long as there's not aluminum in there because I'm allergic to the aluminum. Mm-hmm. I feel like when I wear a scented deodorant, like the Kopari one, or there's like Athleta, there's like an Athleta one that I have, I smell that the most throughout the entire day, which I guess is like the point of the product. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I'm just like, okay, you're done. Please be done.
That's so funny. Amazing. I just wrote all of those down so I can try them.
We'll That's why I feel like too. When like sometimes when like you ask guys like, oh, like you smell really good. But and they're like, it's just my deodorant. And I'm like, now I'm like, oh, I get it. Because that shit is made to last through like an apocalypse.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Wow.
So like even for people who don't wear fragrance, if as long as they have a scented deodorant, like that will last you all day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
The last person that I hooked up with before I met my boyfriend, he was wearing no fragrance but a scented deodorant. And I yanked his shirt off and I was like, wow, it was stronger than a fragrance would have been. You know what I mean? So I'm like, damn, are these really that strong?
I think it's also because it's hot.
Yeah.
It's a very warm, it's a hot spot.
It's baking.
Radiating. Right. Radiating the scent.
I probably scared him too. So yeah. Good. Anyway.
But yeah, that's why I always appreciate when like these, like, I guess like a lot of newer brands will release like really cool, unconventional, sophisticated deodorant scents. But I've noticed that anytime the scent of a deodorant is really good, the formula is like that gross, gets all pasty or foamy.
Or foamy.
Yeah. And I'm like, why can't I have both?
Right. Right.
Someone get this right.
Truly, the hunt for like a natural deodorant is never ending.
Wait, do you have one that you like?
So my boyfriend started buying the Le Labo, like it's a rollerball deodorant. And then I was like, oh, this actually works. I think I'm going to steal this from you. Mm-hmm. And now we both use it, but they just upped the price. Like it went from a price that was like, okay, this is a splurge, but like if it works, it works. We'll do it. And now it's a price that I'm like, this can't be the price. Like I need to find an alternative for this.
We'll send you some links.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm so excited. Thank you guys for teaching me your ways.
We're always here for you, whatever you need.
Anytime. Our DMs are always open.
Yes. Amazing.
Okay.
Thank you again.
You guys are the best.
You are the best.
Thank you for having me.
Always. You're always welcome.
I love you guys so much. Please come to LA.
Steph Stone.
I love her so much.
I know. God. Third host energy.
Seriously. Also, like, I really do mean it. Like, when you look at her feed, like, you just get cute to Christian.
You really do.
Her whole house. Her whole... It's just like a plushy kingdom.
Her whole life.
I just want to live in a plushy kingdom.
Actually, like, she really did influence the way that I think about my usage of social media. I don't know. Not that I ever did it differently, but I suppose that I did. And I looked at her stuff and I was like, this just seems very her. And she seems to post what she likes and like what she thinks is beautiful and funny.
Yeah.
Because Steph is also very funny. And I'm just like, oh.
She's funny in a subtle... understated way, which I'm always trying to go for, but I'm just too freaking silly and I can't.
No, she's great.
We were hesitant to break this out into a series or a sub-series of just like interviewing our friends, but I also think it's just cool to see how other people regard scent, because, and this is true, I think I thought of this because anytime you talk to anybody in real life about scents, nobody really thinks about it until you ask them the questions, and then everyone has so much to say about scent, and then you realize that we have a lot of the same commonalities, depending on where we grew up, of what things smell like or what things feel like, what scents feel like. Mm-hmm. And I think that's pretty cool.
Well, yeah. And also this whole, our whole ethos with this show, besides being dumbasses, is that like to make fragrance more accessible and to like break down that gatekeeping wall and to share our something we love with other people, and hopefully they can love it too. So why would we then be gatekeepy about the type of guest that we have on the show? You don't need to be a chemist or God forbid a fucking brand founder to be on the show. You can just be like a cool...
I feel like you're opening up the gateway to people pitching us.
To what?
To like people we don't want pitching us.
No, I don't give a fuck.
I'm cutting that out.
You know?
Yeah. I think there's just only so many unique original stories you're going to get from like
someone trying to sell
something. A brand founder. Yeah. Because I mean,
and we've been lucky.
We've been lucky. I'm glad that we've had really cool conversations with different fragrance brand founders and perfumers and fragrance industry people. But at the same time, at a certain point, I'm like, well, I get it. You own a brand. But like, what about everybody else? Like people who approach fragrance from not a brand owner, business owner standpoint.
Fragrance is for everyone.
Fragrance is for everyone. And everyone is for this podcast. something like that.
We're still cooking that one, but we'll get back to it.
Yeah, it's still cooking. We'll come back to that later. But well, I'm so glad that we got that Steph was into this, and
I could talk to her every day.
I know.
You know?
I love it. I also thought it was so cute that she's like, I have questions for you guys.
I know. And I'm conscious of the fact that we sort of kicked the episode off and then we're like, anyway, back to asking about us. But she did ask this question right off the mic right before we started. And I was like, we were both sort of like, wait, let's keep this for the show. But, you know.
Yeah. Anyway, I like the direction.
It's our show.
It's our show. We can do what we want.
Yes.
Thank you for listening.
Until our next episode next week, you can find us. What do I say?
You can find us at our website.
Why do I always fuck this up? You can find us at our website at smellyoulater.live. Uh-huh. You can find us on Instagram at smellyoulater.mp3. Leave us a voice note.
Yeah.
You can do that from our website. I'm jumping around. Sorry. You can buy our really plush, comfortable merch. Fall is coming, girls.
Yes.
And you can find me at Tynan Buck everywhere, whether you like it or not.
I'm at Sabletooth Tigra.
And until next time, we will smell you later.